Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 108, and it's a Monday, September 10th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray. Yes, and I need to say, rest in peace, Burt Reynolds. You will forever be known to me as the Bandit.
Yeah, I miss him. I remember him in the Cannonball Run with Dom DeLuise. So, yeah, rest in peace, Burt Reynolds. He's a pretty hot hunk back then, right?
Yep, I remember his Playgirl sheet and how everybody said it was going to destroy his career. He'd never work again. Oh, my God.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he's pretty good looking. Even though when he became older and he was in some shows as an older man. With the white hair and everything, he still looked hot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so rest in peace, Burt Reynolds, and condolences to his family and friends. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre, where this is a show where we talk about gay stuff, geek news, and bizarre topics. So, before we move on, let's talk about our weekend update, Ray. Last weekend, oh my God, this was all your fault, Ray.
What is all my fault?
I didn't get to sleep much.
Why?
After watching that movie.
Oh, you mean The Nun?
Yes.
It wasn't that scary. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, not really, but I found it funny most of the time because some of them are predictable.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I thought they had a chance to do a lot more with this and do another spinoff of a series, but I guess they didn't know what they were doing. So I was kind of disappointed. I mean, it was okay, but I was expecting more. So,
yeah. Anyway, it was okay. It was good company anyway with y'all. But the movie is just really one of those. So many things about it just didn't make sense. It feels like so many things that happen to us is just they just want to do it just for the sake of scaring the person, not having a correct.
Well, that's why it's called a scary movie.
Yeah, but it has to be scary, like the old ones. I remember that there is a build up, there's a reason for things, but here they just make things weird, make things. There's so many things that just don't make sense. The transitions. Anyway, it's just my observation for The Nun. Anyway, so Ray, I got to try your steam cleaner over the weekend. That was pretty cool. My carpet is really clean right now.
Yeah. And by steam cleaner, he's talking about my steam cleaner, nothing any metaphoric or anything like that.
Yeah, that's right. Not the Cleveland steamer. No, not that kind. But it's Ray's steam cleaner. I got to use it, and I'm going to use it sometime this week just to, what do you call this, to clean some more carpet. Yeah, yep. I still have
carpet. So you got the upstairs clean?
Yeah, the big hallway on top. Yeah, so I just need to do a little bit more probably downstairs. We'll see. Anyway, Ray, so shall we go to our stories, Ray?
Sure. Go for it, Maynard.
All right. This is a good, happy, gay article, everyone. So, campaigners celebrate as India decriminalizes homosexuality. Woohoo, India! They're now allowed to be gay. Anyway, so let's go to the story. Celebrations have erupted in India after the Supreme Court unanimously ruled to decriminalize homosexual sex in a landmark judgment for gay rights. A 5-judge bench at the country's highest court ruled that a 160-year-old law banning sex against the order of nature amounted to discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation was unconstitutional. So the judgment, after 24 hours of legal challenges, triggered elation among LGBT Indians and their allies across the country in a plans for all-night parties in nightclubs in major cities. Of course, when things like this happen, of course you'll party in nightclubs. So in Mumbai, people marched carrying a giant rainbow banner. In Bangalore, they draped themselves in the LGBT flag and let off scores of balloons. In Delhi's luxury Lalit Hotel, run by one of the activists who fought Thursday's case and home to one of the cities, furtively gay-friendly nightclubs staff danced in the lobby. So yeah, they dance. Oh yeah, I bet they're pretty fabulous when they dance. Criminalizing carnal intercourse under Section 377 Indian Penal Code is irrational, indefensible, and manifestly arbitrary, said the Chief Justice Deepak Mishra in his decision announced at about 11:30 a.m. on Thursday. Mishra is one of four written judgments agreeing to scrap the ban. The rulings quoted Lord Alfred Douglas and Leonard Cohen, William Shakespeare, and the German philosopher Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. So, yeah, there's so many quotes from them.
Well, you should give them the quotes, Maynard.
Really, I should?
Yeah, the ruling quoted Lord Alfred Douglas.
The love that dare not speak, its name. And Leonard Cohen says, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming. And from William Shakespeare, what's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. And the German philosopher Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, I am what I am, so take me as I am. Kind of weird quoting them. Anyway, so Mishra said social exclusion, identity, seclusion, and isolation from the social mainstream are still the stark realities faced by individuals today. And it is only when each of and every individual is liberated from the shackles of such bondage that we can call ourselves a truly free society. So congratulations to India. They can now have homosexual sex.
Legally,
yeah, because before... Yeah.
Let's hope now we can hopefully get some good gay Bollywood movies from there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So they can now depict those acts in movies now.
Yeah.
So the leading ladies, not necessarily leading ladies, maybe leading gays now, would be dancing, would be great. And they did not mention here, though, punishment before when it is criminalized. I didn't notice any.
Well, so I think wonder it was still under English old colonial law. I think I cut all that part out of the article to shorten it down, but if you go read the full article, I think it says something about the colonial law that was set up when England...
So that was what they used to follow, huh?
Yeah.
So it's really antiquated. But
well,
you know,
they were a colony of England, so whatever England did, they did.
Yeah, but then England or London or, you know, the British colonies or the British kingdom, they have gay marriage now. I don't think they have it yet.
But they're still part of the Commonwealth, so if I remember correctly.
Yeah. All right, Ray. So great news from India. That's good to hear. Okay, let's go to the next one, Ray.
Okay. Forbidden Love, the original Dorian Gray revealed, direct from Oscar Wilde's pen. A new edition of the Picture of Dorian Gray, featuring handwritten notation from Oscar Wilde, reveals the extent to which the writer grappled with how much homoerotic content he should include in his novel. It is the first time the original manuscript in Wilde's own writing has been published and demonstrates how he self-censored some of the most romantic paragraphs. He tones down the more overt references to the homoerotic nature of Basil Hallward's relationship with Dorian, crossing out his confession that the world becomes young to me when I first hold his hand. Yet the manuscript also includes passages later removed from the novel we know today that show how Wilde wanted to shock his Victorian readers by openly writing about homosexual feelings. For example, this declaration of love by Basil for Dorian on page 147. It is quite true that I have worshipped you with far more romance than a man should have ever give to a friend. Somehow I have never loved a woman. I quite admit that I adore you madly, extravagantly, and absurdly. The manuscript shows the working of Wilde's mind as he was writing it, said Merlin Holland, the author's 72-year-old grandson, who has written a foreword to the new edition. He reached a point when he was in danger of becoming respectable and conventional. In 1889, he was married with 2.4 children, living in a slightly bohemian Chelsea. What he's doing with Dorian Gray is treading a very fine line. Only 1,000 hand-numbered copies of the manuscript have been printed by publisher SP Books, each costing £200. It's a beautiful object, the next best thing to holding the manuscript in your head, said Holland, whose father, Fabian, was Wilde's son. The family lost all Wilde's published works when his manuscripts were seized by bailiffs in 1895.
Oh, it's Vivian.
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 Oh, is that Vivian? I thought it was Vivian.
Okay. Yeah, it's Vivian. Yeah.
The family lost all Wilde's published works when his manuscripts were seized by bailiffs in 1895, the year Wilde was imprisoned for gross indecency. In court, lawyers for the Marquis of Queensberry cross-examined Wilde on the passages and lippets that he had removed from the novel, citing his story as an immoral and obscene work. You could say that a paragraph on page 147 did terrific harm to his family, which he regretted enormously, said Holland. It blighted my father's early life. Vivian was 8 when Wilde was in prison. The writer was never allowed to see either of his sons again, and their mother changed their surname. But people knew, Holland added. The manuscript is now owned by the Morgan Library and Museum in New York. Reading a facsimile copy is almost, Holland says, like looking over Wilde's shoulder as he writes. Seeing how he constructs his prose is a wonderful thing. It gives you a direct connection to Wilde as a writer. So, and one of my favorite quotes by Oscar Wilde is from The Importance of Being Earnest. All women become like their mothers. That is their tragedy. No man does, and that is his.
All right, there's a part here that you just mentioned here that he'd reached a point when he was in danger and becoming respectable and conventional. In 1889, he was married with 2.4 children?
2.4 children? Yeah, I think they had one that died.
Oh.
So, I'm not exactly sure.
2.4?
I remember from studying him that he was married and he had two kids, but he was still very flamboyant and his writing got him in trouble.
Hmm.
So... And he did a tour of the U.S. that was quite scandalous, from what I understand.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I did go to his grave in Paris one time in Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of lipstick and people kissing it, kissing the grave. Well, the grave, the tombstone. So, yeah. It's pretty. It's amazing. I mean, you're there, very famous man. Playwright, and he's got so much kisses from so many people who admired him throughout the decades.
Yeah.
So. Interesting. Anyway, so yeah, that's. He did mention about Dorian Gray. So is this the same Dorian Gray that I remember from the TV show for the Showtime TV show? What is it?
Yes, he wrote the story about the picture of Dorian Gray.
Yeah.
And then that's been interpreted many different ways.
Yeah. He always looked at his picture. Remember?
Yeah.
So what is it supposed to look like, though?
Well, the whole thing is the picture ages. He doesn't. He always stays young and beautiful.
Yeah. That's what I remember. But in the... I forgot the TV show. Showtime. What do you call that?
Penny Dreadful,
that's it. Penny Dreadful. I remember that, but I got to watch that. It's a really weird TV show. It's got mix of Frankenstein and what else? Dorian Gray and things like that. Anyway, let's go to our next story. Right, it's the geek. Here is the iPhone 9. I have things to say about this. So. You know, right now, the ones that came out, the iPhone 10, which is iPhone X, they call it iPhone 10, and now we're going to come out with the iPhone 9. And, okay, so, this is from Fox News. Oh, it's an article from Fox. Anyway, so, iPhone 9 may be priced higher than iPhone 8. What do you have right now, Ray? You have an iPhone 6, right?
6S.
6S? Oh, I got the 6S also, and... It's been 4 years now or 5 years now? I think it's about 5 years now. So we've been expecting the iPhone 9 to cost around the same as the iPhone 8, starting at $699. But a new report says otherwise. We expect the new LCD iPhone to price at a premium to the blended ASP for the iPhone 8 or 8 Plus, KeyBank Capital Markets wrote Tuesday. As the iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus carry list prices of $699 and $799 for the 64GB version. This means you may see an iPhone 9 going for around $750. It also mentioned that the larger OLED phone, known as the iPhone XS Plus, will, I guess it's XS Plus, because they always go for 10 instead of X, will price at a premium to the current iPhone 10. This means it will very well cost more than $999. Over the last 6 years, screen size is the lone feature that we believe has demonstrated a consistent ability to drive both volume and pricing power, wrote KeyBank Capital Markets. This was evident in the iPhone 6 cycle, where a step up in screen size drove both pricing and volume, and in the iPhone 10 cycle, where a larger screen in a similar-sized form factor drove strong pricing power. Apple noted that it does not expect significant growth in iPhone unit volume in fiscal 2019, meaning a price increase could be expected. However, this is far from a settled matter, as price forecasts for Apple's three upcoming phones have been scattered. The German website Meserkauf predicted yesterday that the LCD phone would, in fact, cost the equivalent of $699. Meanwhile, analyst Ming-Chi Kuo, who is often correct about Apple's plans, has predicted that the LCD model will clock in between $600 to $700. We'll find out the truth at the upcoming Apple event on September 12th. So, these are the LCD models. The reason why they're LCD, there's the OLED ones and they're the old LCD ones. The LCD ones are the cheaper ones. And it's the cheaper kind of the iPhone, the newer iPhone, which I think I would be more susceptible to buy if I can save up for it. But $600, $700 is really expensive. But when it comes to the OLED ones, the really expensive, they reach about $999. I think it would possibly even reach more than that, like a $1,200 for the 128 GB or 256. I don't know. But right, these are really expensive phones, and I don't think.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in too much. Okay, so we have a comment from Facebook, from Josh. And he says that, am I supposed to be shocked about this? All Apple products are expensive. It's abhorrent how much money people spend on them. Yeah, that is true. And you know what? I've always been an Apple fan myself. And I'm thinking about the money that you actually use to buy all this. It's just so expensive. So the way I look at it, Ray, if you're going to buy this, you sure get the newest one, but my God, just make it last for 6 years. At this point, yeah, look at what we're doing with our iPhones. The iPhone 6S, these are 4-year-old phones, and they're still running fine, right?
Yeah, it's a little slow, but it runs okay.
No, not mine. It's not slow at all. I mean, mine's iPhone 6S, and I have the smaller version. Yours, the 6S Plus, mine is the 6S, and it's running really well. And it's still fast, lots of space, and you know, it does the job, and it's really
it does the job,
and that's actually what I'm using right now, talking to you right now. So it's really good. It's still I haven't even used the full capabilities of it, especially with the camera and everything. So
and I'm not planning on upgrading anytime soon, so
anyway, so I have for experimentation, I did buy an essential phone. It's an Android phone, and it's about, you know, it's cheaper. It's like $350, but it does pretty much what the iPhone 6S can do. And it's pretty clear, except for the audio quality. But if you use the right Bluetooth speakers on it, it would sound nice. Yeah. What I'm saying is, it's just ridiculous. So Josh is right here. It's really, really expensive to buy Apple products now.
The next time I probably upgrade, it's going to be the jitterbug anyhow, so.
The jitterbug?
Yep.
Meaning a cheaper phone? What do you mean? Like an Android phone?
Go Google it, Maynard. Google it.
A jitterbug phone?
Yep.
Oh, smartphone. Okay, let me see. Oh, this kind. Oh, that's the cheap ones. They're prepaid.
The jitterbug phones are for old people.
Oh, so that's how you call it. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not old enough to know.
No, you're catching up there. You'll know pretty soon.
Stop. Okay, let's go to the bizarre ray.
Okay. Naked man starts house fire while baking cookies on the George Foreman grill. When firefighters got to the home around 5:30 p.m., they could see smoke coming from inside. A naked man opened the front door and said, "I'm sorry," and closed the door. Police officers arrived shortly after to assist. The man came to the door again, left it open, and went back into the house. According to the offense report from the police department, the man showed no signs of understanding the danger he was in. There were several things on fire inside the home, including some towels. An officer detained the man and removed him from the house for his own safety. Firefighters said that if he had stayed in the home much longer, he could have possibly died from smoke inhalation. In the report, an officer said he and another officer were in the house for about 5 minutes and had a hard time breathing. Firefighters went inside with oxygen masks to remove the burning items. The man admitted to drinking 2 liters of vodka and smoking marijuana starting around 9 a.m. that morning. He was examined at the scene and had no life-threatening injuries, the report said. He refused further medical treatment. Based on the fire department's investigation, the man allegedly tried baking cookies on a George Foreman grill, which he left unattended. The grill and the cookies caught fire, so he put dry towels on top of the grill. Those caught fire, too, causing the fire to spread.
Oh, what a dumbass. So
he's been drunk all day, and then he was smoking pot, and then he got his George Foreman out. And he's like, ooh, let's do this on the George Foreman grill. You can do anything on the George Foreman grill.
Yeah. Well, baking is fine, but then putting in dry towels to cover it, really? If it was wet, if the towels were wet, would have solved
the
problem.
Well, the question is,
right?
He probably didn't even unplug the damn grill. He was so high.
Dumb, yeah.
That's why it kept burning. So, who knows?
Yeah, this is on the Facebook page. Anyway, so what else can you do? What's the weirdest thing you've ever done in a George Foreman grill?
Cook.
The weirdest food? You've cooked?
Nothing. I'm like, I don't do weird stuff. I really don't like the George Foreman grill. It's too much of a mess to clean up afterward.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it feels like it's a very single purpose device.
I mean, I've cooked burgers and chicken and other and a couple other things on it, but I mean, it's smoky and makes a mess, and then it's a bitch to clean up, so it's like, why even try?
Yeah, might as well it's better to just to use a grill outside.
Yeah,
better, right?
Or a frying pan, whichever works. But if you're baking cookies, maybe try using the oven or a toaster oven.
Yeah, I never tried it in a toaster oven, but I've done it in an oven.
I've done it in a toaster oven before.
Oh, really?
Yep.
They're any good? Okay, so I guess that's it for this week. That's our stories for this week, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. And a special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes. And go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.
Peace out.